Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. It's Richard Lanna for Set for Success, where we try to help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Sometimes on the show, I like to provide a bit of a Set for Success tip, and usually with a bit of a story and that. So today, I just want to let you know that every now and then, I meet a serial entrepreneur who surprises me. Now, if you're not familiar with a serial entrepreneur, it's somebody who starts and leads one business after another or multiple businesses at the same time. Sometimes when you meet this person and you start chatting with them, you meet them on the street or at an event or through email, you just never know the stuff that they're involved in or the things that they're doing now. Even if you were to Google their names, you probably would not even come up with anything. It's almost like they don't even exist. And in today's business, I don't always think that that's a good idea, especially if you're targeting a younger, more savvy, affluent generation in business. Now, that younger generation, maybe that's millennium, maybe that's Generation X. I mean, there's a couple of generations out there, but they tend to be pretty savvy when they want information about who to work with or an organization or a company. If you're seeking media attention, for example, it's not always a good thing not to have information out there about yourself. With the right information so that it's findable and accessible, just imagine what you can actually do. Now, some of the places you put information is Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. I mean, those are probably some of the more popular places, if you wish, to sort of consider level playing fields for the business owner. But sometimes there's another part to this, and I think this is becoming an even more important part. It's almost not good enough to have information about your business out there anymore and online. There's now a real interest in the backstory. And with a lot of people I talk to, they talk about their personal stories, you know. And I think that's partly what people are looking for these days. It humanizes your business and tells people about your people and about who you are, which makes you more connected with your customers, followers, and fans. Yeah, I know you do have fans in your business, and fans are people who basically cheer you on and they tell other people about you. And those are pretty important customer group, if you wish. I know for traditional business people, this might be a real challenge because you know we're taught to do that, you know, to actually put your backstory out there. Sort of business first and you second, as opposed to your relationships first and your business second. But I think that's changing a little bit, especially with a real tech-savvy entrepreneur who is basically putting themselves out there in the world of their business. I mean, they're connected with all sorts of things. They got photos going out of them drinking coffee with friends on Instagram, which hitting Facebook, and then they're tweeting about things that are going on that are related to their business or something that somebody else and doing. And in a way, they're creating a backstory. Well, what they're doing is they're creating connections and creating relationships on a whole other level. I guess what I'm saying is this, is that you almost need to be willing to put the incongruent nature of yourself out there to form a congruent business story and what our offering and what that might be. So that is my tip for today, is basically take a look at the relationships you're creating, and maybe you have to have a backstory, a story out there about yourself that connects people with your business. Now, today, my guest is a serial entrepreneur, Kathy Johnston. And I think she's a little shy in letting me say that, but she'll be admitting to it pretty soon. You know, Kathy, I want to welcome you to the show. I know that you're the president of Winnipeg Art and Wine. So welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kathy, I'd like to start off with... You know, as I got to know you via email, and we were introduced through a mutual friend, and as I got to know you a bit through email, I started finding out more and more and more about you and I just thought it was fascinating. So why don't we start off there? Why don't we tell the listeners a little bit about you, Kathy Johnston?
Okay. It is true. I'm a little bit of a serial entrepreneur, though I didn't start out that way. I started out, wishing basically to just work in an office. And I started out in a very large company and was very excited about this. But once I actually started working there for a few years, I realized this just is not for me. Mm-hmm. It's like factory office work. It's the same thing day in and day out. And I just needed a different kind of a challenge. Moved into still office work and with a great company that allowed me a lot more flexibility. At this same time in my life, I met a man who was a definite serial entrepreneur, and he then became my husband. And the two of us just thought this was a perfect fit. Like, I just didn't like that cookie cutter lifestyle I was had, and he was the entrepreneurial go-getter. So we made a great team. We started many different businesses, some of which we still have and keep. They're dear to our heart. You know, everything from lawn care to many rental homes. We had a toy company. We owned Red River Furnace and Duct Cleaning, which was probably our biggest company, which we just sold last year. We also have a military surplus. So we've had throughout the years many companies. We started thinking that maybe we would push on a little bit, move to retirement, but I don't think that's really in the cards
for
us.
Not in your blood, is it? It doesn't sound that way at all.
No, it isn't. And you know what? But it did change my outlook a little bit, and I thought, you know what? It's time now to take my hobby and do it and make it into a business. Use the business background I have and make my hobby into a business.
Before we jump into sort of the Winnipeg art and wine, which we'll get there, I think it's an interesting concept. Because of your history and, you know, and all these different businesses, one of the things as I was looking up some of your stuff, and I hope I got the right Kathy Johnston here, but you're an artist too. You're a painter too.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about your painting.
Well, I did start when I was only 16 years old. You know, spent a great deal of my downtime painting. It's just been almost like a calling, though. You know, I never really thought of it as a business. I thought of it just always as my hobby and continued on in my business career. So I've been painting for 39 years, and I did decide at one point while working to go to the University of Manitoba and study fine arts. So I did that in my off time. And I kind of wanted to juggle a bit of everything. Yeah. So it's my passion.
Yeah.
But it isn't everything for me yet. I still have a lot of other passions. So,
you know what I think we'll do is we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I think I'd like to start off with your passion in art, because I was looking at some of the work that you've done online, and I think it'd be good to talk about that a little bit. But then I'd like to step back into some of the other businesses and the lessons that you've learned that we can share with other entrepreneurs that are listening to us right now. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Kathy Johnston. Hello everyone, and welcome back. And I am hanging out with Kathy Johnston today, and Kathy is my serial entrepreneurial guest. Now, just before break, we were talking about Kathy's passion for art. And Kathy, I was on your website, and I noticed that you do a lot of incredible portraits, you know, and particularly I think every single portrait I looked at was a portrait of a woman. And I was wondering if there might be a backstory in your portraits and why these incredible portraits of these women.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is. I mentioned I started painting very young and, you know, progressed, started with basic landscapes and just kept pushing myself and pushing myself. At the same time, I like to think of myself as a feminist, and I do have four daughters. So through them, I just figured it was important to, you know, let them know that women could be and do anything that they wanted to. And I thought I was really successful at that. But, you know, one of my daughters at one point in time used to carry around a little bride magazine and show me the beautiful pictures in the bride magazine. And one day I recall asking her what she was going to be when she grew up. And she said she was going to be a princess. And I remember thinking and telling her, that's not really a job.
For some people, it might be if they marry the right person.
That's right. I don't know what training you would have for that, but and I started thinking about this, and you know, thinking about how little girls are just sometimes pushed into an area maybe that is what we'd like to think of as just for women. And I thought, oh, am I doing the right thing? I've really got to get them out there. So we were very, my husband and I, throughout their growing up years, thought it was very important to have them involved in the businesses, everything from delivering flyers to photocopying for us. And we wanted them to see that there was more to life than being a princess. At the same time, though, I'm working on my artwork and I'm at the University of Manitoba. And I start really thinking about how did women get to the point where it was basically about how we looked, what we said,
beauty,
how we behaved.
Yeah. Okay.
And so this is, I started working on portraits at this point in my career. I was on, moved up to portraits, and I started thinking about the fact that we make a woman to look, or we expect a woman to look a specific way. So my work with women, and I did a series on brides too, which was the takeoff of my daughter's wish to be a bride, and thought, so my work took a lot of inspiration from construction. So it's done on raw wood. It's done with old wood. It's you can see the nail head, so that you could see how I made the woman, how there were different steps to it. A lot of the paintings aren't even completed. Maybe they're just partially. Some parts of it is very raw, where the wood is showing through, other parts aren't. So it was sort of how I was kind of trying to work through, you know, my place in art, my place in the business world, all at the same time. So it's a really private sort of emotional thing, the paintings.
Yeah, so. I would think so. You know, and I was looking at them, and I love art, so I'm a big art fan. So, and even myself, I'm a I test as a creative developer, you know, and so I have both the logical and the creative sides. I'm just sharing a little bit since we're talking about art. And I did study art at one time too. Uh-huh. So I started to really appreciate what you're doing. I was looking at some of the work, and I noticed that just the way they're named and everything too, like, is that the name of the person, or is that, I know this, I think one was like Jennifer, and one I
yes
didn't write a list.
No.
Okay,
yeah.
So
yes and no. Sometimes
the
they take a little bit of liberty.
Okay.
Well, because I have four daughters.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I do use my daughters as my models in many, many cases, or their friends. Yet sometimes what I would do is have them pose in specific positions, and then maybe superimpose something else on them, because I couldn't just do all the paintings of my four beautiful daughters, I might mention, but
I read something about that you're involved in creating women's series. What is that exactly?
Well, that was more so, again, thinking about it's called the Creative Women Series. So how are women created? How did we go from being little girls to at one point thinking we were going to be princesses, to the next point thinking that, you know, there's something bigger for us and that we can start our own businesses. We can contribute to the community. We can give out to other people. So it's a long step.
You know, that's actually really great advice, I think, for anybody. But I mean, I understand, you know, your passion in terms of working with other women.
Yes.
Based on how you're talking. So tell me if I'm incorrect in my words. But it's so important. My wife and I, there's a picture on the internet that my wife and I love, and it's a Halloween picture, but it's a picture of all these kindergarten age girls, and there's like, I don't know, 15 or 20 of them, and they're all princesses except for one.
Oh, yes, see?
And one is dressed as Batman.
Oh, all right.
and we thought that, you know, we both think that's such a perfect statement, right?
Yes, it says something.
You know, and
it
does. And we understand it from a parental perspective.
Yeah,
so fascinating that you've been able to integrate or use your artwork as a jumping point for your creativity or dealing with your creativity.
Right.
And maybe issues in your life. Do you find that? And we are going to talk more business. I just happen to think that your art and your business are actually mixed, but the creativity. But do you find that your artwork helps you maybe as a person, and maybe we'll say it as a woman if you want to go down that road, deal with issues in your life? Like, is it a way for you to sort of work on you?
It is. And when we say that artwork is very, it's cathartic, it's relaxing. It's sometimes if you've got a problem, you need a break from it. You just take yourself out of maybe your business problem or your business life for a little bit, and you do something completely different, completely creative. And then by the time that you're done, you all of a sudden it's like your mind is open. It's like that sometimes when you sleep and you wake up and you've got the answer to your problem.
Oh yeah,
that kind of is the same way. It's a very, very stress relieving action, but also opens your mind up to other things. And some of the stuff I learned while I'm painting, which is to not accept the first thing that you want to do or you see, is to push the boundaries all the time, is a perfect thing in business too. Don't go with the easy, quick thing. You know, try to expand it, try to push it out of its boundaries, and make it bigger than it really is. So
that's great advice. You know what we need to do, Kathy? I have to take a short break. This is Richard Lannan, and we're going to be back with Kathy Johnson to talk a little bit more about her businesses and the things that she's learned on her journey. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and what a show we've been having. Now, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Kathy Johnson, and Kathy is a serial entrepreneur, and we've been connecting a little bit on business and talking a bit about her history, her past, and her creative side, which is often fascinating to find or hear about, because often entrepreneurs or business people, they have a very creative side to themselves, but if you ever met them in business, you may not know this. I'm trying to get her to explore that a little bit with us and what she's learned and how she's been able to apply it to her business. I suspect, you know, just some of the lessons I'm learning from Kathy's is, you know, things like going willing to go dig deeper into your business, not just sort of settle for the first thing that comes to you at hand, or maybe applying your creativity and using something new to deal with the stress that business brings on. I suspect sometimes it's just a matter of working with other people, and we haven't talked about yet, or creating relationships or unraveling complex issues and making the decisions that you make, you know, and how do you become a serial entrepreneur? What are the businesses that you get into that really sort of categorizes you as a serial entrepreneur? I don't know. I mean, these are always things I like to unravel and answers to questions that I'd like to get done. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to continue our discussion with Kathy Johnson and in terms of her business experience as a woman. So we're following that line of thought, and also in a relationship too. You know, I think couples who go into business together, that probably creates its own interesting challenges. So when we come back, it'll be more of Kathy Johnson and Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Yeah, it is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, just like the intro said, and I'm hanging out today with serial entrepreneur Kathy Johnston. You know, Kathy, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about your artistic background and the paintings you were doing and the portraits and everything, and I just find your work fabulous. One of the things we talked about in also was a bit about your history, right? I mean, because you've had multiple businesses. I mean, it's like if there was a business out there, it sounds like you and your husband's had it.
Yeah.
Or thought about having it.
Or thought about it. Absolutely have thought about it.
No,
yes.
No doubt about it. Is this a good idea? I can imagine the conversation you
mostly
have.
We would do more of them if it wasn't a time issue.
Oh, really? Oh, so there you go, right? And you're not done yet. Now, I do know that during the break, you and I were talking, and you told me you started off with Lawn Doctor. Was that the right name?
Right,
so what kind of business was that?
Well, you know what? Initially, it sort of morphed over time. Initially, it was going to be sort of a self-serve lawn care where we would teach people how to take care of their own lawns, and that kind of morphed into us doing it for them. That was just a successful, great, very interesting business. And we did that for quite a number of years. With that, it was very seasonal, Lawn Doctor. And we had thought of doing something different in the winter time. And that's where we ended up getting Red River Furnace and Duct Cleaning, which we thought was sort of a fall winter type of thing. Okay. Turns out that Red River was a whole year thing.
Oh, okay.
But while this was even going on, we were still, you know, we at one point had 25 rental homes in the city, and that's a constant. We've always worked in real estate, from either rental homes to either flipping homes. We still own five, even though we sold the mass majority of our rental homes, we still own five homes that we use now as vacation rentals.
Now, I suspect a lot of people, I mean, I could just sort of start raveling back your businesses in a number of ways. I suspect there's people out there who are thinking to themselves right now, you know, I wouldn't mind having a rental home or two or something and renting it out so I can create some cash flow income.
Right.
Is that an easy business to get into? Is that a business? Like, tell us a little bit about your story.
It's not as easy as it might sound as it is. You think I have a house, I'm going to do that. But I must say that it has been very successful for us. And over the years, we always come back to real estate because it's something we know we're comfortable with. And real estate always does go up. Yeah. I mean, it may take lulls and it may, even out for a while, but it always goes up. It can be a challenging business and it does have its minuses, but it has a lot of plus. And in the end, it's a good investment, I believe.
So a plus, I would say, is a good investment. I agree. I mean, in terms of Manitoba economy, and if we're looking at that, I mean, we pretty much can calculate a 4% to 6% increase per year versus I've lived in different provinces in British Columbia, Alberta to Ontario and everything throughout my life, just due to career situations and you know, unpredictable in some areas and some areas not. So you talked about plus. So let's talk pros and cons, okay? Because I'm always interested. What are the pros of being in a rental business, in the real estate business?
Well, you know what? I'm a firm believer in doing something that you love or that you have an interest in, a good, strong interest in, or a belief in. So I've always loved real estate. I've always loved looking for the houses, purchasing the houses, fixing up the houses, meeting the people that maybe you're going to be renting to. And I think that's an important part of it.
Those
are real pros, especially if that's something that's of interest to you.
What's the cons?
Well, it's kind of the same as the pros in a way.
The people
could be difficult. Yeah. sometimes it's the uncertainty of it. It can be difficult. You could go, especially if you really do rely on that money. You may go 6 months where you've had a problem. Your house took longer to get ready. You don't have a renter. So it's a little volatile. So cash flow can be a problem. So we were lucky that we had other companies to rely on. So that wasn't such a big issue for us.
So you could balance out. Maybe that's the word of advice is that if you're thinking about getting in this business, that have another income stream.
I think that's a great idea.
Now, one of your other income streams was obviously Red River Furnace.
Yes.
Right? And I know that you've sold it off now. So you've gone through some succession. Are there any big lessons learned that you learned while running that business?
You
had it for a long time.
Yeah, we did have it for a long time. And it was really kind of our love. Even though duck cleaning doesn't sound like it's an interesting career choice, I must say that I love the service industry.
Okay.
I love the fact that you get to interact with the customers, that their feedback to you can change your everyday events. So when you're in retail, which we've done also, it's just a different feel. And you purchase something, you sell it. You don't really have there's not many options to change it. This is the product you bought. Now you need to sell it.
Okay.
Whereas in the service industry, if something isn't going well, you hear from your customers and they say, you know, we don't like this or, oh, we love this. You can change. You can your ideas at any moment.
So you get that feedback that you require.
I love that feedback. Yes,
it's interesting you'd say that because I have a huge background in training and development. And one of the changes in that field is that you used to do evaluations like immediately right after the training. But now it's all online.
Yes.
And so now there's a lag between your feedback point.
Right.
And it's not as good because if you need feedback immediately so you can make a change or tweak something just a little bit to service your clientele.
Right.
And I'm just equating it to sort of that experience. So I think it's sort of the same type of experience from there. Fascinating that you know, you'd learn that in two different businesses, right?
Yeah.
The difference between the retail business versus a service industry business where I guess you're shaking the palms of people, you know, like even if you're doing it. One of my friends, similar to yourselves, and all he does, and he's done it all his life, builds garages.
Ah.
That's it. That's it, right? Similar to duct work, right? And he says, we've had this conversation many times where it's not a glorified business or anything along that lines. He's really good at it. It's opened up other doors for him, and he has a crew that does it, and that's all they do. And yeah, you know, sometimes the best businesses aren't the ones that are as attractive.
Yeah, aren't glamorous.
Aren't glamorous. Yeah. Maybe that's the word for it, right?
Yeah, but so, you know what? I've learned so much through that, 28 years of doing that, from employees. You have to deal with a lot of employees, training, the customer end of it, marketing, everything. You touched on absolutely everything. There was just an excellent training.
Experience for you. Yeah. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of your future exploits. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Kathy, you know what? I'm having such a great time chatting with you. I mean, I love the fact that you're a serial entrepreneur. You and your husband are too, and he's not joining us today, but you can say hi to him, by the way. No? Don't even have a name?
No. Doug. Hi, Doug.
Doug, there you go. We've been chatting about your businesses, and I know you've learned a lot of stuff about online. So you've not just had regular service businesses where it's been all about going out and seeing people and cleaning stuff and everything, or just retail businesses where it's all about coming to my storefront. You've actually expanded out into other areas. And I think you mentioned earlier in one of our segments, like your toy hobby shop or something was all online. And, right. And you did some military surplus stuff, right, which I think is important to support our military. And you know, why not recycle or reuse things? But you got involved in online businesses. So tell us about your journey in terms of online businesses and what you've learned from that.
Well, that has been really fun and exciting. Obviously, 30 years ago, we didn't even have that option.
No, it wasn't an option at all.
No, not at all. And we started a little bit in retail, and then the internet was coming up at the same time, and thought, this is just great, how to get out to absolutely everybody. No longer are you just going to sell to people in Winnipeg. And it's just been the most exciting, a little nerve-wracking at times, but very exciting. It's totally changed the landscape of how we've done business now, and the interaction with people, it reminds me of in the old days when you're at the mom and pop store and you got to meet mom and pop every single day. And nowadays on the internet, the personal interaction with people is just really amazing now. And it's something that the customers want nowadays in the life of the internet.
And I think that's sort of a spot where I actually opened up with, where we talked about, you know, how do you create a backstory?
Right.
And what I meant by the backstory was you make it real, you know, for people, right? What's that interaction where they feel like they're hanging out with a live person and they're getting that connection?
And it's hard for a business person to, you know, to focus on themselves. They're just so focused on the business. But this is what people want nowadays. And this is one of the pluses of having a small business, is that you can take the time to meet with people. You can take the time to just talk to them on social media and that type of stuff, compared to a big conglomerate where maybe you never ever speak to the owner or anybody close to the owner.
Yeah, the smaller, the more personal touch and everything. I think that's a really good way to support what I like to call mid-level enterprise. Well, small to mid-level enterprises. Yeah. And, you know, and mid-level enterprise can only be 100 employees. Well, you know, especially in our province or in Canada, there's a lot of companies that are only 100 employees and they're highly successful. They may sound like they're big companies, but they're not totally big. I mean, you're still, the owner's right there. A t-shirt and blue jean company. You know, and that, and you can have that represented in terms of online too. Now, I know that you're present. What's really great about some of the stuff you've been doing, Kathy, is your interest in art and painting, and your interest in business and entrepreneurship and all these different businesses have sort of led you down this path of, I'm going to call it a transition into another business that we first connected on, which I thought was a great idea, Winnipeg Wine and Art. Or Winnipeg Art and Wine. Sorry, I guess I should put the art first and wine. Tell us about that enterprise, because that's a fairly new, recent venture for you.
Yes, absolutely it is. And you know what? After selling our largest company, and we started thinking about, would we retire? Would we cut back a bit? Not going to happen. And I thought, you know, why don't I now take some of the experience I have with business and the love of my life, which is art, so, and combine them together. And it's just been so much fun. And when I said earlier about you should get a business that you love, because you will work harder, you will, the ups and downs will, there's always downs in a business, but you'll be able to manage through them because it is something you love. So I think this fit is just perfect. It doesn't help that I love wine too.
So I don't know. Wines could be a lot of fun depending on how much you consume. Let's talk about the premise of this company, because right. I find it sounds to me like it matches some of the things that are really you. Art.
Yeah.
And people,
right?
And because I think I got this impression from you that you like to connect with people. And correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Absolutely.
So how does this business work in a way that is different than your other businesses?
Right. Well, because the other businesses, I wasn't always the forefront of the business. I always seen myself as the operation manager, looking at the big picture of the business, and which is what part I really, really did enjoy. And now I'm a lot more interactive, and I'm the face of the business in that I'm there at the events. I'm out meeting the people live, teaching them how to paint, and it's just so much fun interacting with the people.
No, go ahead.
Most of the people that come to the classes don't know how to paint. So we do a step-by-step, easy-to-follow instructions, everything from how to mix colors, what brushes to select, everything. We try to teach them.
Now, these events don't actually happen in a regular school setting. I mean, happen in, like, if I read up correctly, and you correct me, these happen in, like, restaurants and people's homes.
Yes, yeah. Restaurants, bars. So we do offer a little bit. We have regular events that we offer at restaurants and bars within the city. Then we also do offer private events to people, which can be at people's homes. We also do a lot of fundraisers. So it could be at community centers. Like this evening, we're going off to a community center to do a very large event for a fundraiser. So,
it's a community
everywhere.
Connection too.
Right. There's a lot of that.
A lot of,
yes, absolutely.
Connection. At this point in this business, what is maybe a lesson learned that you're in this new entrepreneurial venture that you're involved in?
I want to go back to a little bit about when we were talking about the internet, the social media. This business is very, because it's a one-on-one with a lot of people, and this type of business, and a lot of entertainment businesses are sort of the same way, they start to get big and explode on social media, and there's a lot of social media interaction, and that, I mean, I was already doing that, but this is just really big time social media, mm-hmm. And there's a lot, you're constantly talking to people. We have people, besides coming to the events, help us pick the paintings for the events, help us pick the names of the events, help us find where they want to have the events, everything. So it's just, the interaction is great. And I love that part. I love the interacting with them live at the event, and I love the chatting with them after. And you're allowed to move the business how they want it to be moved.
So it's a real flexibility.
Yeah,
which sounds like
a
real service, internet type, savvy type business, yeah. But yet done with people.
Right.
This is Richard Lannon for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lannon for Set for Success. And what a show we've been having. If you're just tuning in, I've been hanging out with Kathy Johnston, CEO of Winnipeg Art and Wine. Now, we've been talking a little bit about her experience in business, because she's a true serial entrepreneur, and it's been fascinating to talk to her. Kathy, if you had one sort of final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
I think it would be, as I mentioned several times, that it's important to pick a business, if you're going to get involved in entrepreneurial business, is to pick one that you love or that you completely believe in, because it just makes the whole thing a lot more fun.
A lot more fun. You know, yeah. I'd agree with that. I think even in careers, when your career sort of starts to not be so much fun, might be time for a change. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, you can visit our website, which is winnipegartandwine.com, or email me at Kathy@winnipegartandwine.com.
Great.
And it's Kathy with a K.
Kathy with a K. Yes, it is. This is Richard Lanifer, Set for Success. And you know what? I would love to hear from you guys. If you have a thought or an idea about today's show or a suggestion, just richard@setforsuccess.ca. Kathy, I'd like to thank you for hanging out with me today, and definitely thank my listeners for hanging out with us. And remember, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.